Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, hey, happy first evening of fall or autumn for those of us who are bougie about it. I'm not bougie about very much, but when it comes to the season of autumn, yes, yes, I am. Somebody got mad at me on Facebook and corrected me. It's called fall. You know what? I feel much better about our society when we're back arguing about stupid crap. And if you want to argue about whether or not it's called autumn or fall, then by all means, it's a little bit like overreacting to football after week two. That to me feels normal, whatever normal is. I don't even know anymore, huh? But I do know for sure, you can't argue with me on this fact, that we have changed seasons and it is now officially autumn slash fall. And of course, that means football season. Of course, that means baseball playoffs. They are right around the corner, weirdly enough. And it also in 2020 means both the Stanley Cup final and the NBA postseason. And we had another one of those Western Conference final games, another display from Jamal Murray, LeBron James, Anthony Davis. Kind of fun to see all of those stars on the same court. So we're going to get into basketball. We're going to strap on the high tops. I guess you don't really strap them. We're going to lace up the high tops and we're going to run full court. And we'll talk Denver and Los Angeles here coming up. And in case you're not paying attention, and this happens a lot during the football weekend, we get really wrapped up. I get really wrapped up in what's happening with football. And it's cool. I like that. I'm glad we have that to fill our plates. But baseball is now seeing its postseason bracket take shape. And because more than half the teams in Major League Baseball will play into the postseason, it's not only strange, but there's a lot more to keep track of. So it's kind of fun to hear these teams realize the first step of their goal, which is to get to the postseason. And we've got some teams that are continuing streaks, regardless of the fact that it's 2020. We've got some teams that are doing what they've done. We've got other teams that are spoiling the party. We've got fresh blood, we've got your blue bloods, we've got your standbys, and then we've got your surprises. And so it's cool to see it come together. It literally is the final few days of the Major League Baseball season. So I'm excited that there's a lot going on, but it's also nice to have the breather from football, to get maybe a break from the last weekend and kind of let everything settle and now to look forward to week number three. I told you, once we got started, it was going to move faster and faster, and the sports globe was going to spin faster and faster, and it definitely feels like that. I'm not sure what's stranger, that it's September 22nd, which, on a personal note, is exactly 4 months after I closed on my house. So I have owned my house for exactly 4 months today. So I'm not sure what's stranger, that it's late September or that we're moving into week three of the NFL season, and SEC football comes back this weekend as well. And there's just a lot happening, and it's going to get even crazier and busier. But every time I start to get nervous about everything that we have to watch and follow and talk about, I think, you know what? The alternative is the springtime. What happened in the springtime? And I do not want to go back to that vast wasteland. So here we are, and here we go. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Do you want to see your loan options, adjust payments, and closing costs online in real time? Rocket can. Yes, along with owning a home for 4 months is, of course, the mortgage payment, which is due pretty quick. I don't care. It's an investment in my future. It's a tax break, and I'm proud to pay that mortgage every month. Thank you, thank you, thank you, by the way. Two things. Thank you for all of your responses to what was our Twizzler Tuesday question, asking you the best things about autumn, the best things about fall. We got so many responses. It was really cool. For me, chili, which I actually ate some leftover chili for dinner here a few minutes ago. Chili, pumpkin treats, really pumpkin everything. The smell of fireplaces, that crisp air without the humidity. Sweaters and sweatpants. Great running weather. I don't love running, but I do enjoy it a lot more in the fall than any other time of the year. Thanksgiving and orange everything. My orange socks are in the wash. I couldn't wear them two nights in a row, but it was really fun to see all of your responses. So many of you love the apple picking, the apple crisp. Many of you enjoy kicking through a pile of leaves or playing in the leaves. I know we all really enjoy raking the leaves. It's already started in my neighborhood. I live in a neighborhood where people do not rake. I might be the last person in the world who rakes. But the leaf blowers have already started. And so I'm glad that where I've moved now, my bedroom is on the back of the house. And so I won't necessarily have to deal with the loud chorus. It's obnoxious. It's even worse than fake crowd noise. Leaf blowers, worse than fake crowd noise. There, I found something that's worse than the fake crowd noise. But leaf blowers, they just have this whine, this high, loud whine to them. And so it's hard to sleep sometimes when that's going on. But they're already starting. And so I'll just take it. I texted my brother with a bunch of emojis to say, happy first day of autumn. And he wrote back, no. What? What do you mean? But he's already worried about the cold temperatures. I'm like, Matt, you can enjoy what we've got for the next couple months. It's not going to go from summer to winter all at once. Some people just can't live in the moment. Anyway, thank you for all of your responses. Those were fun. And then after I shared my picture of Penny about, I don't know, 30 hours ago, you all responded with your own dog pictures, your own pet pictures. Someone even posted a photo of a six-month-old colt on our Facebook page, which made my heart beat so rapidly. He was adorable. And so you can check out all the photos if you want to follow the thread on Twitter or on Facebook. But I love seeing your pet pics. They're really cute. It's amazing how many different varieties of animals there are out there. And then you narrow it down. Amazing how many different dogs there are. Even the same breed, how different they can look. I mean, it's like humans, right? There's none of us that looks exactly the same. And so it was just fun to see them all. Thank you for that. Our Twitter is AfterHoursCBS. You can get a jump start on Ask Amy Anything if you want. It's part of our hump show. And so we'll be taking your questions, and producer Dave will choose the choicest questions, and then we'll answer them coming up a couple hours from now. And also, you can post them on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We definitely are seeing, I think now, teams that are in the bubbles, or the hubs, as they're called for the NHL, but the bubble for the NBA. We're seeing teams kind of respond to the light at the end of the tunnel. So it was hard, and it certainly, it's difficult to be away from your family that whole time, or just to be living in a hotel room. How many of you have ever lived in a hotel room for a long period of time, for a long stretch? Maybe you were displaced by something going on. Maybe your house was under renovation, or there was some type of a natural disaster that had you displaced. It's hard to be out of your own space. Regardless of what you're doing, it's hard to be out of your own space. The longest I was ever out of the country was 3.5 weeks. And I tell you what, I was so ready. I've never been so ready to be back in my own space, my own bed. I once was in between jobs and had to live with my mom for 3 months, but it's not like I unpacked. I mean, my stuff was all in the garage, the basement. I was living out of suitcases and boxes, and I just desperately needed my own space and to be able to settle in. So you understand the stress of being out of your own space and living in a hotel, regardless of how nice that hotel is. It gets old after a while. But you can tell these teams now, they can kind of see the light at the end of the tunnel. And so we're getting the best that they have to offer. A 1-1 tie in the Stanley Cup final. And now we've got the Nuggets, who I just have this inane flair for the dramatic. We've got the Nuggets, who have climbed back into the Western Conference Finals and kind of shown us a little more of what they're made of. And that's the spunk and the aggressiveness of Jamal Murray. It's the variety and the diversity of the game of Nikola Jokic. It's guys like Jeremy Grant stepping up and playing a major role. And we've seen different players on this Nuggets team do that. I just love the way they operate. And I don't know why it is that they thrive in the bubble. It's got to do with their personality. It's got to do with leadership. We'll talk to Jason Kosmicki, actually, who's in Denver and is going to join us at the top of the hour. He's the play-by-play voice for the Nuggets Radio Network and has done Nuggets basketball for, I think, 20-plus years. He's been around this team, this franchise, for a long time. And I'm interested to ask him, what is it about the makeup of this team that causes them to thrive under adversity, whether it's the bubble, whether it's being down 1-3 in a couple of different series. So let's be honest, the 2-0 hole, as much as Anthony Davis with the three-pointer at the buzzer was a gut punch, this is not anything new for the Nuggets. So there they are, ho-hum, early in the fourth quarter. They've built a 20-point lead against the Lakers in game 3. And then, they can't do anything easy.
Here is LeBron dribbling behind the three-point line. 5 to shoot. LeBron down the middle to the rim. Lay it up and in. 101-98. Anybody's game with 5:20 to go.
What? How did that happen? Oh, because the Lakers are really talented too, and also because I really don't think the Nuggets are great front runners. They operate much better. They play much better. They focus much better when they're coming from behind. We have seen this the entire time. Some teams, they need to be pushed. They need to feel that set of walls closing in around them. They need to feel like it's them against the world. And while they've built that, I certainly feel like the chip on the shoulder they carry is for a legit reason, they do not operate well when they are out in front. That's just not who they are. And so here are the Lakers, who have a 19-2 run, and they essentially wipe out what is a 20-point cushion for the Nuggets. And here we are now in the late stages of game 3, and I'm wondering, is this going to happen again?
Jump pass down low to Millsap, back over to Murray. Murray attacks again, back over to Millsap, and a dunk with 2 hands. And with 90 seconds to go, the Nuggets lead it by 9 in game number 3. Murray gets a pick from Nikola Jokic, high left side, takes a long 3, jumpers up and in. The Nuggets lead it 111-99 in game number 3. And Hastings, this thing is over.
Jason Kosmicki loves to break the microphone. He's not going to do that when he joins us. I'm confident he won't be quite that fired up. But yes, that's Jason on the Altitude Radio Network for the Nuggets. Just so you know, no team has ever come back from a 3-0 deficit in an NBA playoff series, and only the Nuggets have ever come back from a 1-3 deficit twice. We've obviously seen other teams, including a LeBron-led Cavaliers team, come back and win a series after being down 1-3. But Denver did it twice. Probably didn't want to have to scale a mountain, another mountain that no other NBA team has scaled. And so this goes a long way to erasing the sting, or to at least easing the sting of what happened in game number 2. And to have the Lakers come roaring back in the fourth quarter and they were able to hold them off, I think is a major test. They obviously have confidence in themselves, but to not have it happen in back-to-back games, to not have them choke away what is a lead in back-to-back games, to be able to stare down LeBron and stare down Anthony Davis and have their own big moments, that's huge. I don't know that it's a confidence thing as much as it is they just need to know that they can protect a lead. And because typically they prefer to be the chaser, not the chasee. They prefer to be the, if you're playing a game of tag, they prefer to be the person that's it. So they're chasing everybody else. You're it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. So obviously the Lakers climbed back in, and Michael Malone, Coach Michael Malone, is kind of pointing to what broke down for the Nuggets in the fourth.
Obviously, as a team, we were up big in that fourth quarter. We allowed them to make it a game. They went to their zone. They turned up the pressure. And I believe we had 9 turnovers in the fourth quarter alone, which can't happen.
When you dig yourself a hole like that, you know, every shot that they make, every shot that we miss, you know, is, you know, feels like the game is collapsing. So, you know, we played, you know, some pretty good ball in the fourth quarter, but those first 36 minutes hurt us, obviously.
Yeah, it's a situation that no team really wants to find themselves in. You can look at it flip side, which is that the Lakers were able to trim nearly all of that lead. They were able to trim 17 points off that lead in a manner of minutes. So with 10 and a half to go in the fourth quarter, they go on this 19-2 run, and hello, the Nuggets are staring at their old demons. Meanwhile, the Lakers are flexing their muscles. And so that's how quickly the Lakers can come back. But at the same time, you know, the Nuggets deserve credit because they are definitely facing one of the best teams in the NBA, and it's important for them to, you know, baby steps, to not put themselves in as big a hole. Do they really need to be the only team in NBA history who's ever come back from 3-1-3 deficits? No, definitely not. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Jamal Murray finishes with 28 points, a dozen assists, 8 rebounds, and oh, okay. Let's throw in 2 steals as well.
I didn't think I had a good game in total, to be honest with you.
Whatever.
I didn't really get everybody organized, and I had too many turnovers, too many like live ball turnovers that led to easy 2 points, and that happened, you know, consecutive times. So I felt there were stretches or stints in the game where I just could have been a lot better.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely did turn the ball over in the fourth quarter, as Coach Malone mentioned, but Jamal himself only had 4 turnovers. But I'm glad his standard is really high. And honestly, now watching him, my standard for him is really high as well. He has raised the bar. Probably one of the revelations of the bubble is Jamal Murray. And being on this stage and watching him dazzle and rise to the occasion over and over again, he's now worth the price of admission, quote unquote. That's the cliche, but he's worth tuning into a game. He's worth watching just because his game is so dynamic, and he has that aggressive mentality. And also, I love it when he tells us that we need to give them some damn respect. He's right, isn't he? So we'll hear more from the Lakers locker room as well as from the Nuggets as we head through this edition of the show. But 114-106, Denver gets this game 3, and as I say, hasn't raised the bar so high that it's it would require some history for them to be able to dig out. Also, we've got the inevitable in the NFL. We knew this was happening, and we also have a really cool set of highlights and reaction to the baseball postseason taking place. And I love this kind of stuff. I know they're celebrating in unconventional ways, and the goal is not to clinch a playoff spot, but it is the first step. You cannot win a World Series if you aren't in the postseason. That might be the most brilliant revelation that I have ever shared with you here on the show. You can't win if you don't get in. And so this is an important step. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, but also our show Twitter, if you would like to weigh in with your questions for Ask Amy Anything or answer our fall question, because there's so many things to love about the fall season.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
There's the horn. The Denver Nuggets stave off a fourth quarter run by the LA Lakers, and the Nuggets are right back in this thing, baby. Denver wins game number three by a final of 114-106.
We had a hit first mentality, especially in the first quarter, and we kind of took off from there. And, you know, we got everybody into a groove, and guys were hitting at a high rate, and our defense was involved, and we were rebounding and running, and we just had a flow. So, you know, those games hurt, but it feels better when you bounce back the way we did tonight.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Jamal Murray says the bounce back and the aggressive mentality were so important for them. It definitely does help when you turn around and you're able to, in the very next opportunity, kind of erase the sting. And this is such a loose analogy, but it happens a lot with me when I have a bad radio show. And there are times when I'm really upset. Maybe it's like one mistake that I made and I feel like it ruined the entire show, or it's just a bad show in general where I wasn't in a good groove and I made a bunch of mistakes or I said stupid stuff. I'm always reminding myself, you turn around and you do this again tomorrow. That's the privilege and the perk of having the show to yourself and having this opportunity, is that you can erase that with a good show tomorrow. And so I understand what he's talking about. You want to be able to get right back out there immediately. It's a little bit like a shooter as well, right? You miss a shot and what do you want to do? You want to keep shooting until you can kind of get back into your rhythm and flow. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Jason Kosmicki is the play-by-play voice of the Nuggets on the Altitude Sports Network, and he will join us from Denver. So he's not in the bubble. None of the local broadcasters are, but he'll join us from Denver where he's doing the games at the arena, which is kind of interesting. Just the whole concept of being among a handful of people in an arena and you're doing a game. And I guess it feels a little more legit or real to me now that I went to Citi Field and there, other than the players, there couldn't have been more than 50 people in the entire place. Like it was so empty and just so strange and surreal. So Jason will join us from the Mile High City coming up just after the top of the hour. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So Jamal Murray mentions they wanted to be aggressive. He wanted to be aggressive. They want to make sure they came out and they hit back in that first quarter. So important. And while they did allow a good portion of the lead to disappear, there were a lot of good things to like about their performance, things they can build on. So, of course, you had the fantastic performances from Jokic and from Murray, because this is what they do. But Jerami Grant with a career playoff high 26. And they out-rebounded the Lakers 44-25, even though at times the Nuggets were in small ball. And, you know, the Lakers, even when they're in small ball, they still have Anthony Davis, who is not small, and LeBron James, who is the opposite of small. And so they still have such bulk and the ability to get to the boards. But yeah, the way that they were able to kind of limit the Lakers' opportunity, I think, was really important as well. So we'll let you hear a little more from Nuggets and Lakers as we go through this edition of the show. Adam Silver has been talking about next season already. He did a wide-ranging interview on CNN in which he was asked a lot of different questions about what's the business plan moving forward and also about why it's working in the bubble. And it's significant. It is really significant. Dave and I were talking about this earlier. Whether or not you are into the NBA playoffs and whether or not you're watching all these games, as weird as the format is, you have to at least give both the NBA and the NHL credit that they were able to get to this point, that they were able to go through these last few months unimpeded, uninterrupted. And the fact that neither sport has had a positive test inside of the bubbles that they've built, that is to be applauded. And I mean, I don't think we can commend them enough.
It's working well so far. I'd say my favorite emoji has become the fingers crossed one. And so every day we get the test results back. We test everyone who's living on campus. And as we've reported, we've had zero positive cases among any of the NBA players or coaches or our staff. I should say there are people who enter the campus. I'm calling it a campus instead of a bubble because it truly is a campus. There are people who are coming on and off every day, some of whom do not get tested. Everyone, of course, observes the appropriate protocol in terms of social distancing, mask wearing, hand washing, etc. So maybe it's a demonstration that those critical and necessary steps actually work. But so but because we're not in a sealed environment, you know, there's always a possibility that infection could intrude on our campus. But as I said, it's so far we've been very successful.
Again, they deserve to be commended, the entire NBA community as well as the NHL community. But they're still in kind of this planning mode, contingency mode for what happens next year. And I think the NHL is in the same boat. So we'll hear more from NBA Commissioner Adam Silver on the bubble as we head through this edition of the show. And even before we get to Bob Uecker here at the bottom of the hour, just to whet your appetite, we'll do some baseball coming up. But I love a good Tom Hamilton walk-off.
Here's the 2-2 pitch from Ruiz to Ramirez. A swing and a drive to deep right center field. Away, back and gone. It's a game winner. It's a playoff clincher. And for the fourth time in the last 5 years, Indians fans, you will have a postseason to remember.
He is amazing. I love Tom Hamilton, the play-by-play voice of the Cleveland Indians radio network. And Ramirez is in some kind of a zone right now. He's hitting 500 in his last 7 games with a half dozen homers, including the one you just heard, and 16 RBI. And that's quite the way to clinch your postseason berth. And so good for the Indians and potentially Ramirez adding to his MVP resume. So I kind of stole the thunder. I don't know, Bob Uecker, if that's a cut that you were planning on using in your update, but I just, you know, I felt like it had to be done just to get people excited about baseball. So that's one. And then there are other big calls that we'll use the rest of this hour. But I thought of something. You're going to get mad. Maybe you won't get mad. Maybe you'll have an answer. You always seem to be ready for my questions. When Adam Silver said my favorite emoji has become the fingers crossed emoji, I thought, you know what? That's a fun question. I'm going to ask people what their favorite emoji is. What is your favorite emoji, Bob?
I use the thumbs up all the time.
Do you?
Yeah, it's been my go-to. It's reflexive almost. It's just thumbs up. It's probably, people probably say, come on. Get creative, would you please?
Well, it's better than K. Do you remember when this? Why do men do this? Men write text messages that say nothing but K. It used to be okay, and then okay became too much work, too much effort, so then it became K, and now it's the thumbs up emoji. I get that a lot from guys, and I'm like, what? I have one friend to a female actually who sends that emoji. And like, I swear to 50% of the text messages that I send her, I'm like, okay, that's enough. So yours is the thumbs up emoji then.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
I got it.
Yeah, and I have a serial texter friend, by the way. Do you have one of those serial texter friends?
I might be a serial texter. You know, I won't say, Bob, let's become friends so that I can be your next serial texter. But I mean, texting is so important when you've got people all over the country and la, la, la. Nothing's a substitute for a good phone call. But yes, I am an emoji freak. I love emojis. In fact, I found that I send more text messages with emojis than without now, and I don't know what that says about me.
Yeah, I once sent a text to somebody who, in fact, I'll tell you who it was. It's a fellow broadcaster, great guy, Tim Capsgrove of the Brooklyn Nets, does analysis, and I sent the text to him, and it included an emoji after we had done some normal stuff, and then he came back with, I never figured you as an emoji guy. And I wasn't quite sure what that meant, but we broke the ice, and I still give him a lot of thumbs up.
Oh, I'm telling you what, if a guy uses emojis, I feel as though we're on the right path. Like, if it's a potential date, and I mean, it's hard to date in 2020, but if it's a potential anything and a guy sends me text messages with emojis, I'm like, oh, maybe we speak the same language. Here's a deal breaker though. LOL. If someone sends me a text with LOL, that's it. I don't care if he's Tom Cruise. Well, Tom Cruise is, yeah, he's not a good example, but I don't care what else is going on. No text messages with LOL.
Okay. I would pass that test. No LOLs emanating from these thumbs.
Yeah. Thumbs up emoji from Bob Uecker. All right, that's good. Yes, I will confess to being a serial texter. I do enjoy my text messages, although I'm not one of those people that has relationships only through text messages because that is super annoying.
I give you a thumbs up to send me as many serial texting trains of thought that you want. Anytime, Amy.
Oh, Bob, you're funny.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. It's a Touchdown Tuesday on After Hours.
Firing for the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Touchdown!
Takes it himself to the pylon. Touchdown!
One man to beat 10. He's gone.
They throw to the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Made a guy miss. He's inside the five. He's to the 3-2-1. Touchdown!
Southern Salting into the end zone. Touchdown!
To cast your vote for the TD of the week, head to @AfterHoursCBS on Twitter or give us a call at 855-212-4227. The San Francisco 49ers.
First and 10, 49ers. They start in the true eye with Kyle Juszczyk ahead of Raheem Mostert.
Oh,
Kendrick
man.
Bourne
Goodbye.
Goes in motion, and he gets the right edge and gets down the sideline, and he's gone. Raheem Mostert is gone down the sideline. First play of the game is a toss sweep and a touchdown, San Francisco.
That feels great, baby.
The Green Bay Packers.
Devontae to the right, single receiver left, Lazard. Give is to Jones up the middle, right here. Yes, it's going to be Secretary at the Belmont. No one will catch him to the end zone. Touchdown, Aaron Jones, 75 yards.
The Baltimore Ravens.
Well, they've decided to go for it. Lamar Jackson splits out wide to the left. It'll be a direct snap to Mark Ingram running off left tackle. He's got a huge hole.
Oh, wow.
20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown Ravens. What a play call by Greg Roman. He went direct snap to Mark Ingram. Split Lamar Jackson out wide to the left. They needed a yard. They got 21 of them and a touchdown.
The Dallas Cowboys.
Second and goal at the one. Prescott's going to keep it at right guard.
Got three
a
touchdowns.
Push sneak. Touchdown, Prescott. A three rushing touchdown game for Dak Prescott. No other Cowboy quarterback has ever done that.
Four really worthy candidates, and then many of you wrote in with other touchdowns that you believe warranted consideration. And so we are still tabulating the votes, but you can vote in the poll we've got on Twitter, After Hours CBS, and you can also weigh in on our Facebook page. A lot of you have already, but the poll is still live for a couple more hours. I just retweeted A-Law Radio. Raheem Mostert for the San Francisco 49ers goes 80 yards on the opening play of the game. Aaron Jones, a career high 168 yards rushing. That includes his 75-yard scamper. Mark Ingram taking the direct snap as part of 230 yards rushing for the Ravens as a team on Sunday. He executes perfectly a Greg Roman creative play call. And then Dak does what a quarterback has never done. And he did it in the second half. 300-plus yards passing, three rushing touchdowns, and it was quite a performance as the Cowboys came back against the Falcons. So you've got the poll up on Twitter and Facebook, and we will reveal your choice for TD of the week before we finish up the Hump Show. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Coming up on Sunday, we're talking week three already. The NFL on CBS features some fantastic matchups, including top contenders in the league. As much as you can be a top contender through 2 weeks. Raiders, hey, they're a surprising 2-0. On the road, cross country against Cam Newton and the New England Patriots. And then Deshaun Watson and the Texans looking for their first win. They will take on the still perfect Steelers. It all starts with JB and the guys getting you set for the day. Sunday noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, only on CBS. As for Cam Newton and the New England Patriots, they still going back over the tape and talking about what happened at the end of their battle with the Seahawks, where they had 1 yard to go to get in for the winning touchdown. In fact, if you want to watch the game again, NFL Network is actually replaying Patriots-Seahawks right now. It's up on my studio in front of me. But Cam Newton wakes up early to do an interview with our Boston affiliate on Tuesdays, and he was asked about that final play when he was tripped up short of the goal line by the Seahawks' L.J. Collier.
We ran the play 4 times, and it's not my job to go back and forth with what coach decides. It's my job to execute what coach decides. Simple and plain. And for me, we ran the play 4 times, and we were successful 3 of those 4 times, and the 4th time was obviously the last play.
Despite the fact that Cam had a really good game and a lot of people were lauding him and look at the offense with the New England Patriots and the versatility of it now that Cam Newton is the guy running it, he was still upset, and you can understand why, still upset over what happened at the end of the game when he couldn't get in with that last yard and help them remain perfect on the season. Still, that Sunday Night Football game lived up to all of the hype, that is for sure. More with Cam Newton on the Greg Hill Show on WEEI when we get to QB News a little bit later on our hump show. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS, and it's sponsored by Geico. Right now, Geico offers an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies, and that's on top of what Geico already saves you when you switch. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. We've put our hump show question up. I knew I wanted to do something that was totally unrelated to sports, but we put up our question in light of what Adam Silver said about his favorite emoji now being the fingers crossed emoji. What are your favorites? Or another way to say it, this might be more appropriate for you. What are the top 3 emojis that you use most often? And I saw the array of emojis that producer Dave put up as part of the question on Twitter and Facebook, and I was a little bit nervous that that array of emojis was going to include the middle finger emoji. Did you check carefully to make sure the middle finger emoji was not included?
I double-checked every single emoji on there, and I think we're good. I think we're both still employed.
All right, cool. Also, do you think that there are, I don't know, listeners out there who will tell us that the middle finger emoji is among the top 3 that they use?
I don't think there's a doubt in the world, unfortunately.
Okay. I'll be prepared for that.
Yep.
Let's talk to Bill, who's in Phoenix. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Amy, how you doing tonight?
Great, thank you.
Cool. Hey, listen, you know what? I'm a Cardinals fan. Mm-hmm. We're 2-0. We beat the 49ers on the opener. We've got 3 teams coming up that are totally beatable. I think the Cardinals are going to be favored in every single one of the next 3 games. Should I keep my hopes high, or should I be more realistic and just say, hey, this team's going to be lucky to make the playoffs, or are they going to, you know, really make a run? I don't know. I want an unbiased opinion because I think I'm, you know, kind of have my hopes too high.
Are you just talking about the next 3 games, or are you talking about the season overall?
I'm talking about the season overall. I really think this team can make the playoffs. I'm just worried about, Murray. He's a great, great guy. He made really good decisions last year as a rookie. He had a bad interception on Sunday. I'm worried he's going to get cut in half one of these days. He's got to quit rushing for so much and use more of his.
Part of what makes him explosive is that he, in the blink of an eye, can take off and run, and those are dazzling plays. So I understand what you're saying, and that's always the case with a quarterback who's a dual threat, but you can't tell Kyler Murray not to run. Those are his instincts, and his instincts serve him well, and let's be honest, they also keep him alive. When he's running for his life, he is going to be one of the fastest guys on the field, and that's what keeps him from getting crushed, because he's got great instincts. So you draft a Kyler Murray not to turn him into a pure pocket passer, though he certainly can throw the ball. I think that the Cardinals have two things going for them. Number one, Murray fits this offense perfectly, and they've added weapons. So the DeAndre Hopkins connection we see is already working out. I don't think Kyler Murray needs to be their top rushing option. They need to make sure they have a balance with Kenyon Drake, who's their primary guy. But I do believe the weapons they've added, that's really impressive. I also love their defense. Their defense was there before Cliff Kingsbury. They've got some really talented players. And huge fan of Chandler Jones, and they've got some other guys that are solid. So those two things are going for them. I worry about them, and I'm not telling you they aren't going to make the playoffs. I don't predict the future. But I think the way they've started out is amazing. The problem is that's a very difficult division. Now, the NFL has expanded the playoffs this year. You could very well see three teams from the NFC West make the postseason. That wouldn't surprise me at all. But it's a very difficult division, meaning you cannot let your guard down for a second. And last year, the Cardinals were playing with house money. They had nothing to lose. They were just out there trying to figure it out. And now they're going to be more of a target. People can't possibly look at the Cardinals and not take them seriously. And so, you know, it just becomes a little bit of a different mentality. They're not the, you know, the forgotten kind of dark horse. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot to like about them, but I also think that's the toughest division in football.
I agree. I mean, I was talking to a buddy of mine and bragging about the Cardinals. He's not a Cardinals fan. And he said, dude, I got two words for you.
Dude. Russell Wilson.
And I'm like, oh, because the Seahawks just really scare me. And we have to play them twice. So, you know, and that's on the back end of the schedule. The back end of the Cardinals schedule is really tough. So we'll see. You brought up a good point with the expanded playoffs. I didn't even think of that. And so, you know, thanks for what you said. And I hope you have a good night. No, by the way, congratulations on 4 months in your own house.
Thank you.
Well done.
I appreciate that, Bill. Good to talk to you in Phoenix. 855-212-4227. The reason Bill's saying that, well, I did mention it's been 4 months since I purchased my house, but also I had this, of course I cried because I always get teary. When I say cry, I didn't sob. I got teary. I was outside with the dog on Tuesday afternoon, and I stopped to talk to one of my neighbors, the one that lives to my left, and she had introduced herself the first week I was in the house, so I already knew her, and Penny really wanted to smell her. Apparently, she had just cooked bacon, so I think Penny was picking up on the bacon. But as I was, like, walking back into my own yard, this older man across the street, I've already met his son and his daughter-in-law. They all live together. He stops me and introduces himself. And we're so glad you're here, Walt. This is a, you know, this is a wall-to-wall great neighborhood. Like, it, you just, people around here are so wonderful, la, la, la. And so it just struck me that here I am, 4 months into owning this home and being a brand new homeowner with my own little slice of heaven for the first time. And 4 months in, people are still introducing themselves to me. And it just makes me feel so welcome, number one. Number two, it struck me how we really do as humans have the power to impact others positively with small kindnesses. They can go such a long way. Jason Kosmicki is next from Denver. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.